This is 10-1 right and beginning of the visit with Nick this Thursday night at supper, the 2nd of September, 1971. Channel 1 right and beginning of the visit with Nick this Thursday night at supper, the 2nd of September, 1971. Channel 1 right and beginning of visit with Nick this Thursday night at supper, the 2nd of September, 1971.
This is a long story.
Yeah,
it's really maddening too.
Yeah. Well, of course it was for you, I know.
So meanwhile, I just been
just kind of sitting
around. I got in with some lots of riding.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Got anything kitty Molly?
No, no.
That's a silly question.
They. I hate to say, I don't know what I ought to tell you or not, but I might be converted to English. One of these days. Converted to English. I haven't decided yet, though. That's an awful hard decision.
Yeah, that'd be a disaster.
I sort of think so, too. See, my girlfriend's trying to get me a change.
Oh. Well, what had you been? I thought you were in.
Oh, I've been riding Western all along.
How about riding? Oh, riding. Oh. You funny. Well, I thought you said.
This girl I met this summer lives up in Swanee, has eight thoroughbreds.
Oh, thanks.
That are all hunters and all these things, jumpers. So I've been riding them all with my saddle. So she's gone off to school.
And left me
with them for the year.
Where is she going?
She goes to Holland.
Oh, she goes to Holland. Oh. She's already gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I may just start riding her horses English.
Western. Oh. Well, I don't see how you use your Western saddle. So.
Well, I could keep on doing that.
You are.
But she might not like it. She gets back in her ring. All her horses are broken to Western.
I can imagine how much she'd like you then.
Well.
Oh, me. So she's a fight.
Glass of milk.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Milk a bit.
You've already got them six.
They're not green bees.
They're not
green
bees.
They're
sort
of like
black,
black
IPs.
Just put them on
and
see if you
can
use the best
way.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
I won't worry about it. I'm not going to do that.
Well, but you've been off to the beach. I mean, she just stayed on the beach last night and this morning sleep.
Let's see now, wait a minute.
I think I've stood up long as I need to for a while.
Yeah, stand there with me. little bit. You stood up and then that was tricky so much.
We worked 3 hours. 3 hours on that cattle thing. Both of us working fast.
On that cattle thing. Oh.
Now, what harm would anyone do a cattle frame? Now, if it's a truck, I could understand it.
Oh, and he wouldn't let him have it. Okay.
What harm could he do a cattle frame? My question. I mean, what harm? Huh?
None I can see.
Cattle frame's indestructible. You never wear them out.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't use them 2 days out of the year.
That's right.
Well, do you think Nick is self-conscious? Or he don't like to be people watching me?
Oh, no.
I don't think he minds the boys. I don't know.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we got to get a small jar. That's inviting trouble.
He didn't like this kind, so he didn't eat any of it.
Rick stopped here the other day, and he got that old rat close to him, and he started putting it out on his biscuits. Remember, no.
Rick, I still got to meet him.
Yeah, you're in that box. Your same old car?
Same old car.
Well, it's a beauty. It's just like you.
25,000 miles on it. It's only 11 months old.
How do you get so much mileage?
Just drive everywhere. Well, I haven't done. I haven't had a thing, not one thing go wrong with it. I get 20 miles a gallon still. I do all my work on it myself. Oil, plugs, points.
And you've got the new stuff to do it with.
Grease, everything. It hadn't been in the garage yet.
You know, that gun itself, actually, you'd think that'd be extra work, but sometimes I think it's less trouble than having it done.
Mm-hmm. Leaving it somewhere and having to wait and... Maybe they're not there and got to come back. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And you got to sweat it out. You don't know who's going to do it.
And then it's probably half the time not right. Got to take it back.
You know it's not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a lot cheaper. I buy those little... They have co-ops around here yet?
No.
It's up in Tennessee, they're a chain of things that cater to farmers. Store, General sells everything. Weed killer and feed and everything, tractor parts.
Yeah.
And they're real cheap. And they just cater to wholesale to farmers. I always go there and buy car parts. I buy a whole set of plugs, points, condenser, rotary cap, $3. All that.
That Georgia co-op is down here, but it's not cheap down here.
Oh, yeah? Hmm.
I quit dealing with them.
They're nice up there.
Yeah, they sell gadgets higher than the chain stores.
Really?
Yeah. There you got all over everywhere.
Your leg is long and wide.
I wish there were. I think the one over there, Trenton, is cheap. I don't think anything is cheap, James.
I remember that one in Trenton.
I wasn't there in quite a few things.
Did you?
I had my car, checked for stamp over there.
Mm-hmm. Is that where you have to go?
No.
Mm.
But I'd rather go.
Than the Gainesville one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's right here. Mine's over now. I'm supposed to be done in August. If I get caught, I guess I gotta quick make it home and have it checked before they catch me.
You don't have to buy go home.
Well, got to anyway. Well, if it's something wrong, then I gotta go get it fixed. Yeah, but the people at home, I know. Here, I don't know anybody.
These people over there at Trenton, the man that has a garage, who's got a ticket.
Oh, get you coming and going.
No.
That sounds to me like he's going to check you and say, oh, you got something wrong. I can just happen to fix it for you.
No, sir. He don't do that.
He's good, huh?
You know the way I learned about that?
What?
From Gorman. Old Peg Bag Gorman down at Cookies Bay, University Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He'd come in all the time and drove a Cadillac. And he knew all this countryside.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he knows it. And he had built that garage over there, put a front on it. I have no business whatever in Trenton or anywhere in the direction of Trenton.
Nothing over there.
No, I had a big time that day. I just went up one side of the street and down the other and just talked to everybody. And met some remarkable people.
Were they?
Yeah.
We nearly bought a farm over there.
Yeah.
It was all in timber.
Yeah.
You having a problem with your insurance?
What kind of problem?
You name it. I never seen such. Yawing back and forth. Gotta go through so and so and around this and over that. I guess I'm mad. See this guy right there and around the corner from where I live, ran a stop sign that hit me. And he was from Chicago. And just passing through. So, I got his insurance company and gave him the bill, which was $800. If it had been a little bit, I would have ignored it from all the trouble. But $800, I couldn't ignore. Went over there to his insurance company, the local guy, and gave him the thing. And he said, well, he'd have to check with the central office. Come back in a week. So in a week. Yeah, he'd check with the central office, but they didn't have any records. They would have to check with the national office. Come back in a week. Come back in a week. They didn't have any records. The national office. The guy that hit me didn't report it to his insurance company. So I said, well, I'm reporting it to you. And he said, no, that doesn't work. And he has to report it.
Hmm.
I said, you mean I gotta sit here and wait for him to report it? Yeah. So, I said, what happens if he doesn't report it? Oh, well, he can lose his insurance policy if he undo that. I said, yeah, but how are you going to know? They said, oh, well, you told us. I said, yeah, I did. I'll do something. And they said, oh, no, we have to wait till he reports. We got to get his version. So I said, well, we'll see what my lawyer has to say about that. So I went over to see him. And he said they were just stalling for time, trying to get out of it. So he wrote some nasty letters. And finally, the insurance company got a hold of this other guy who spent all his time in West Palm Beach all this time, and they couldn't get a hold of him. And I asked him about the accident. And he said, oh, it wasn't his fault. So, and he told his insurance company, don't pay, because it wasn't his fault. So, and when I had a week later, I found out that, and I said, well, I can prove that it was his fault. And they said, okay. So I presented him with a police report. And I said, oh, well, we're going to have to get, you have to send this to him to get his okay of the report. And so after another week, he sent it back saying that it was all wrong. The policeman was wrong. And so then we had to go around looking for witnesses. All the people in cars had to sign things, and that took another week. And then he still wouldn't concede, the other guy. And so we started getting nastier with our letters, my lawyer and I. And then said we were going to take it to court. And then the insurance company finally wrote me and said, well, what my lawyer wrote to the insurance company said, you have to make a decision whether you're going to refuse it or pay it. And if you're going to refuse it, we're going to court. If not, you pay. And so so then the insurance company says, well, this was the local man I was going to. He said, well, this isn't my territory. I have to send it back to the central office and for their decision. And so waited a week, called the central office. Oh, well, we had to send it to the guy whose area it is. Another guy down the road. So I waited a week, called back again. Oh, well, we're waiting for his report to come back to the central office. And another week. Now the central office, after they've heard the decision of the other local guy in whose area it was, then they have to make their final decision. And then that's another week. And then, after that, they have to give their final, they won't give it right to me. They won't just tell me over the phone. I've been calling millions of calls. Nashville's the central office. And, they have to give it to the local guy. The accident didn't happen. The line, the territorial line between offices, ran right between my house and where the accident happened. So the guy that I had to deal with was the guy in my territory, but the guy for the accident was the guy in the other end of the county, because the accident happened in his territory. And this guy couldn't go right to this guy. He had to go back to the central office each time and go this way and this way. Every time this guy did, he had to send it to the central office, and the central office had to send it back to this guy that I was in. I couldn't just talk. And so, finally, the central office, the other guy, went over and talked to the guy in the territory where the accident happened. went over and talked to the cop and saw some witnesses and everything and made his decision. And he wouldn't tell anybody. He wouldn't tell me. And then he told it to the central office. And I called the central office. No, they wouldn't tell me either. They had to finalize it. And the only way I could know was from the local guy where I was living. So finally, the central office sent the answer to him. And he finally was in my favor. And so, after 3 months of doodadding back and forth, and a telephone bill, about $100, it came out.
You know,
I never seen
that,
such mixed up.
All that time?
Just, they mailed me the check for this past Friday, a week ago, tomorrow. All that time. And the accident happened March 29th. March 29th.
You couldn't be away. You had to be there to work.
I had to be there every minute because at any time, we could have gone and had to go to court. And I had to be there, confer with the lawyer, sign papers, witness things. I had to be there to mail stuff off to my sister who was in the car with me at the time. She had to sign things.
You know
what I
mean?
And then on top of that, my insurance company. See, they were nice and everything, but see, if the other people had refused it and won their case in court, which they couldn't have anyway, but if they had won, in the remote chance that they had won, then my insurance company would have had to pay me, and they didn't want to do that, so they were on my side, so you're trying to hurry it up too. And there's all this correspondence back and forth, and I had to fill all these forms for my insurance company and then duplicate them. The same forms would come from the other insurance company. And then I had to fill out one. I went to the local guy in my area for the other guy's insurance company. Oh, yeah, fill out all these forms. He gave me about reams of things, names and mother's maiden name and all this stuff that doesn't have a thing to do with anything. And make all these little drawings of how the accident happened and all this stuff. And I give it all to him. And he goes through it. And then, then he sends them up to the central office. And no, the central office got to have their copy. So they send me some all the same ones. And I got to fill out all those ones for them, too. Send it back to the central office. Meanwhile, my insurance company is sending me the same ones for me to fill out for them, just to have on their file. And then, on top of that, my insurance company, the local office, they had to have it for their file. And then the one that we have, the agency at home, that we have it the policy taken out with, had to fill them all out for them, too. And then, I had to fill out papers for the central office got their copy, and the local man got their copy. But then the guy in the area where the accident happened, he had to have a step, too, so I had to make out some for him. And another thing that took so long was the policeman who wrote up the accident, came there at the scene, didn't turn in his report for about a month.
Oh.
And we kept writing in that. He's supposed to send them into Nashville, to the central, to the state capitol, where all the files were kept.
Sure.
We kept writing to Nashville. We don't have any record of any accident. And this guy was a state trooper and had weird hours, like from 2 o'clock in the morning to... So I never could get a hold of him. I know who he was. And, and finally, he turned it in, and finally we got a copy. And then each insurance company would have to have a copy of the forms that the policeman filled out. So each time one would ask, I have to write back to Nashville, pay another dollar to have the thing. And then have it, then that'd be a week. And then I have to give it to them, that'd be another week. And then the next one would ask me for one. I have to write again, get another one. And then back another week, give it to them, and another.
I thought you'd get that mixed up with lawyers. You know, that's where I was.
Well?
They would be the ones that would be out of town.
Well, that sort of happened too a little bit, not too much. my lawyer, was a real good lawyer and everything. He's one of graduate. He was helpful and everything, but sometimes, you know, he said, come down Monday and we'll fill out these forms or do something. Like around Monday, he'd be in court and I'd have to come back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
It was just...
What was it? The Don said?
Well, March 29th.
Small towns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think happening.
March 29th, August 29th, that'd be the month of April, May, June, July, August.
Five months.
What company is closing?
My insurance company is INA.
INA.
Insurance company in North America. And his insurance company was Travelers. And my lawyer said Travelers is notorious for trying to get out things. So what they'll do is they'll red tape around back and forth and do all this and hope you get disgusted and give up. And then when they find out you're just going to stick it out, they mostly say if you're in the right. But the aggravating thing, they held it up really about half that time was held up because the other guy that hit me wouldn't admit it was his fault. I never had. In fact, the insurance company overrode him. He kept insisting that it wasn't his fault. And the insurance company, despite that, just because they saw the police report and everything, just overruled him. But, see, how in the world he could think that was his.
Well, now, did you keep a copy of all that material?
Mm-hmm. I got it all.
Including
you can.
Mm-hmm. So I was going down the main highway. You know, like I was going down 441 out here. And these little teeny dirt roads and things that come in into the stop sign. He just came right on, right on across. Never even stopped at the stop sign.
Or hit you on the side.
Mm-hmm. Right on the side. And nothing happened to his car. $50 damage or something. It really totaled mine.
What age?
No, he's about 50.
50?
Mm-hmm.
And still, how'd you like that?
Chicago
Jew. Oh. Going to Miami. Okay.
Max was his name. Max Kastner. Going to Miami. Soak up some fun.
Soak up some money.
He's really wealthy, too. He owns a big chain of men's clothing stores. He was worried, you see, because if his insurance company has to pay off an accident that's his fault, then his insurance rates go up. So he's worried that he has to pay $10 extra a year for insurance. And then on top of that, when the car, the night of the wreck, I left the car at the phone station. It was going to be towed down to the body shop the next day. Everything was stolen out of it that night.
Everything what?
Was stolen off it and out of it. Hubcaps, the works.
Why?
And my insurance company paid me that. Because it was just I was covered under theft, you know. And that was that. That took, I got all that back in a week. I just told them, you know, wrote down and said a little how much it cost, and then sent me a check right away. One week. Mm-hmm.
Is this the same car that you got in there? You got it fixed and cost $8 a car.
Well, I hope it's on the express.
Well, aside from chewing about that, I got in a little bit of everything. Built a house. Well, it's not quite finished yet, but...
Well, we knew you intended to come back because you would never...
Built a house?
Built a house bigger than this.
Three-story.
Three-story. 12-foot ceilings on all floors.
Wow. You don't build houses like that anymore.
Mm-hmm. This guy is the president of the university.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do?
I built it.
You didn't do it all by yourself, Nick. Yeah. You went by the plans.
Well, now I'll tell you exactly what happened. He said, I got these plans drawn up. Actually, it's sort of complicated. See, the president of the university is retiring this year. He's 65. And he already has a house that he's going to move into to retire. The president is provided with a house by the university, you know, while he's president. But then he has had his own private house. But his son, who also teaches at Suwanee, who's about 30, was living in his house. And so, in order for him to be able to retire and move into there, he had to get rid of his son. So his son decided, with the help of his father, to build a house. And so that's what it was. So what we did was, we found a house about the size of this house and tore it all down. Sacked all the lumber in the front yard and built it all back.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Poured a whole new foundation. And it was pretty crummy before. But, so we rewrote all the floor plans. Everything was changed around differently. And just he and I, the president's son and I, did the whole thing. We, wall, panel, floor, ceiling, every room in the house. I wired the whole house, put in the meter and the junction box, everything.
You did?
And wired the whole house, yeah.
Are you pleased?
Mm-hmm. And I plumbed the whole house, put in the water heaters, the sinks, the toilets, everything, showers. Mm-hmm. And then, after we got through building all the rooms and doors and things, we started putting the finishing touches in, and I built in the kitchen, I built floor to ceiling, wall to wall shelves all the way around, cabinets, counters, all the stoves and refrigerators set into the wall, flush with it, and then we had a man come and put a roof on. And we had a man come and put in a furnace, and with ducts coming up to the floor, heating unit. And that's all. That's the only people, only outside of professional help at all.
You do the painting?
Mm-hmm. His wife did a lot of that. Oh, we have our mason come and do the fireplace too. That's the only outside. Just the two of us did the whole thing.
Good gracious.
We, the living room, which is 15 feet by 25. We paneled the whole thing in pine and with little curlicues, Charleston style and everything. Put up plasterboard, but I never had such a hard time as that. Jeez. Oh man, especially on the ceiling. Oh. He alone knew how to put plasterboard up. We had to just learn. Half the stuff we didn't know how to do, we just learned as we went, made mistakes. We started in insignificant rooms. Like the plasterboard, we started with inside the bathroom. Made all the mistakes and learned how to do it, and then we did the living room, ceiling, and the dining room.
Well, you know,
you
want to
see?
Shirley and over there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we laid the formica and everything. Well, I built the kind of the whole kitchen was mine. That was my project. And I built the counter. Great big kitchen, 20 by 20 feet. And I built the counter coming out from the wall out into the middle with the sink and everything in it. a great big huge piece of formica to put on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put formica down, you put glue on the back and then glue on the surface. And the second it touches, it will move. You can't put it down and then position it right into place to get the corners even. It won't do that. The second it touches, it's just stuck, and you can't even get it up. It won't come up. So we had to make sure it went down exactly right on it. When you put it down, we had this huge piece. You know, if it was a little piece of formica like this, it'd be all right. You'd just sit it down right where you wanted. But it was a 20-foot-long piece of formica that we had to sit down exactly within an eighth of an inch on all sides. And but it came out.
You didn't have to remodel your frame?
Nope.
Cut off the corner?
Nope. The drawers and cabinets were pretty hard too.
Yeah.
And and his wife got one of these really fancy, hard to do things. Like she wanted glass doors on some of the cabinets, inlaid, inset. Instead of just having a cabinet open up on the outside, I know it's got to close inside where it's all flush with the front. There's little magnets to hold it closed and all this stuff. So, well, got it done. And then she stained everything walnut. So it really looks beautiful. And he's got this guy is a fantastic pianist. Just terrific. He plays with the orchestra there every year. When the concert series comes through, he always does something. He's really, really fine.
He's the one who had the house built.
He's the son of the president, yeah. So we designed the living room to fit the piano. We built the living room around the piano. It's a beautiful Steinway. Not the little one, but the next size, the bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he has two, and he wanted to put both of them in there, but that would be a little bit too big of a thing, so he left one and was going to sell it or something. But he has an old Steinway. He has an 1860 square. Top when you know the square kind before Steinway started, the crookedy kind, has one of those. Beautiful. Doesn't sound very good, but nice looking. The number on it is only 6,000.
But they were probably the ones you got held over for the summer.
Mm-hmm. They were afraid that when, because I told them the minute this insurance thing came, I was gonna leave, and they kept. I guess they were hoping the insurance thing didn't. We're still not through the house. The downstairs is completely done, but the second floor is just a shell. And then finished yet, but they're moved in. They don't need the upstairs yet. They're going to put their bedrooms and things. Although I did get the bathroom finished upstairs just before I left. But the downstairs is, we paneled each room in a different wood. I paneled the their dining room in redwood. Just beautiful.
Well, Nick, you haven't had any experience in things like that, though, have you?
Well, a little bit. Not on such a big scale.
Well, that's what hours did you all put in? Lord.
Oh, geez. We worked from like 7 or 8 in the morning until, midnight. 7 days a week.
Were you paid? Were you paid by the hour, or were you paid by the?
I wasn't even paid.
You weren't even paid.
That's the kind of job you get.
Oh,
down here on the ranch, and you didn't get paid.
People
had to have a paying job.
I know. That's right. What he did was he gave me unlimited expense account. I mean, I didn't get any money, but I got to charge anything I wanted anywhere. He's got charge accounts at all the stores and everything. If I just wanted to something, I'd just go charge it to him.
And
gas, I charge all the gas to him at the towing station, charge all my gas. And of course, he fed me and put me up every
day. He fed you.
And then when I left, he gave me the complete set of Chopin Piano Works on Musical Heritage label. That includes some stuff I never heard of before. Oh, some weirdy stuff. Songs and orchestral things and trios and quartets. Songs, a whole record of songs, Chopin songs.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's about 20, 30 records or something like that. Weird posthumous etudes and things that I've never heard of before. But anyway, I got those out of the car. He gave me those for a present.
Oh, present. And you got a piano to play them on.
You play them.
Oh, they're records, though. Records, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we hear you planning to come back because you left all your records there. You would never have been up there without your records.
Well, and that's true. I thought I was going to be up there a week. Well.
Well, Nick, you ought to major in horses or automobiles or architecture. That's the sort of thing. You need something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
sort.
Now these other professions, you see, I would.
Well, things sort of gotten out of hand almost. Of course, the the president, you know, the university, everybody on the whole mountain knows him, and his son too. So constantly, every hour of the day, there's somebody in there looking at what we're doing. It's everybody on the mountain. Every person I believe that lives there has been in that house to see what we've been doing.
Yeah.
And so they, about half of them, are going to ask me to come. Will you come make me a shelf? Or, I need a table. Or our bathroom leaks. And the light upstairs is broken. Mr. Lytle had me come out and repanel his bathroom. I did that. Did that one night after hours. Mr. Lytle had me come out and wanted me to come repanel his bathroom. It was leaking around the seams or something. And so after hours one night, I went over there and redid his bathroom. And then now when I get back, I've got some lady wants her kitchen done over with some more different kinds of shelves or something, so I gotta do that. And then Miss Lytle wants his porch re-porched. He's got one of those houses that has porch all the way around, all four sides.
Yeah.
And the floor is all rotted through. And he wants a new floor, a new post, and everything. So I gotta do that.
Looks to me like you are going into carpentry work.
Yeah, I wanna get out of that. I don't know. That's too hard.
Is that hard work?
Well, it's just so tedious. It's not really that hard. Each individual thing is nothing but.
Is there much of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Two or three store house.
The funniest thing, it wasn't very funny, but yesterday was the last day that I put in. And all summer, up until from the day I started up until that day, not a thing went wrong. Not a thing. I mean, you know, I didn't hit my thumb with a hammer, or I didn't cut my finger, or I didn't sprain my ankle. I didn't do anything of that. Everything went beautiful. And then yesterday, I stepped on a nail and went all the way through my foot.
Oh.
I drilled a hole in my other foot with an electric drill. I can remember. I hit my finger with a hammer, and I was putting a door in, and I put that top piece up. It goes across the top of the door there. And the next time I walked under, it fell off right on my head.
Oh, good. Nick.
And I busted a pane of glass and cut my finger. All of that happened in one day.
Dick, I just can't believe that.
Every bit of that happened yesterday.
I just can't believe it.
I just about killed myself. Oh, I'm telling you, it can be heavy, can't it?
Everything just came at once. Golly. Oh, and then I put the floor down
in the bathroom upstairs. I laid the floor, and after I laid it, I found out I'd floored up a hammer in the underneath, and I had to tear it all up to get the hammer out.
Did you go get a tetanus shot or something for that?
Well, I just get one of those once a year anyway, just because of the horses.
You just keep those all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
ever worry
about that.
But this is... But that foot, is it sore today or anything?
Yeah.
I thought you were kind of hobbled. You didn't
yeah.
when you came in. I didn't think you was walking. I'm
playing a tennis tournament tomorrow, too.
Hey,
Coach, well, I have to give you a
handicap. Yeah. Boy, it's been not idle once the whole time.
Well,
I managed to play tennis at once a day. Imagine to go out with Ellen every night.
And do all the other work?
And do all the other work, too.
What time would you...
Manage to ride her horses once a day with her.
Oh.
Well, it'll need to be early in the morning before, or during the lunch break, or late night afterwards.
Somebody else, or you know, people with horses need someone to exercise, don't they?
Yes, they don't, can't do it
themselves.
No. That's right. Well, she can do it herself. But
you can just look around and take your choice.
She's taking advantage of me. That's what she's doing. She can do it.
If she can't do it, then away at school.
Well, I know, but all these other years she's had somebody, had the servants do it or something. She's a multi-millionaire. And she's had, I think, I've got 20 servants, and they always did it before.
What's her name? Ellen.
Wood. Ellen Wood. Her father owns Volunteer Life Insurance Company.
He didn't help him, Mark. Life didn't help him.
No, I didn't need that. He also owns Coca-Cola. Or most of it.
In Georgia?
Yeah. Tennessee.
They're not awful.
Yeah. Sickening.
He did know what was going on with the Roddy.
You oughta.
I figure if I married into that, boy, I'd just retire.
Retire?
Yeah.
The last thing it looked to me like you'd retire, it looked to me like you'd
retire.
Well, I'd retire from any form, anything I didn't want to do.
Good Lord, okay? That'd
leave me time to do anything I wanted to do.
Good Lord. Ride
horses, build cabinets.
Why, good Lord. The last thing you'd get to do is you married into that sort of place.
Oh, well, yeah, well, maybe so. I don't know.
Lord,
you think he'd have me working, huh?
They'd all have you working. The horses would be just a small matter. You'd be going out to dinner 6 times a week.
Well, that's probably so. Yeah, that's right.
Good Lord. Oh, Lord, what a life.
Well, I went out to dinner 7 times a week. Already this summer with him. Well, it's nice meals. Went to Atlanta one night for dinner. Ate at the Midnight Sun restaurant where a salad was $20 or something ridiculous like that.
Oh. That's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I couldn't believe it. Somebody was going to be paying for that.
All the way to Atlanta for dinner.
150 miles. Well, that's where the best restaurants are.
Well, you know the truck stop.
Well, that's where I eat. I always eat at the truck stop. They have the best food. Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Except the truckers always eat in bites. But In fact, 2 days ago, Ellen and I snuck down to the truck stop without her daddy knowing and had a hamburger. And two guys got in a rip-roaring fight. Just, boy, they were really busting windows like you see in the movies. Throwing chairs at each other.
Oh, heaven.
Yeah. Pulling knives and guns and shit.
Oh man. If you take the girl down to a place like that. Oh.
Well, I told her this was an experience. Never had seen anything like that before.
Oh.
I told her it was about time.
Oh. To know what's going on in the world, how people live.
Yeah. That time to go to the truck stop about 2 in the morning. So that's when they get their fresh batch of biscuits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So they make them up about then for the coming morning.
Oh, yeah.
You go about 2 or 3 in the morning and you get them fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. They're really good, too.
That's why you've eaten so many and going back and forth.
Oh, boy,
I
eat there a lot, yeah. Homemade biscuits.
Homemade.
Well, now, you used to live like that over in Virginia.
Yeah, sort of. Mm.
So, that's not new to you.
No, I still had a few clothes around. Because it's funny, this summer when I was up there, my whole wardrobe consisted of blue jeans and those old work shirts. I had a half a dozen of those and old t-shirts and lots of pairs of blue jeans and boots on my cowboy boots. And I had just happened to have one suit, this suit. And so it got worn every time because that's all I had.
Well, you are wearing a suit. I thought something was wrong with it. They look sort of...
Well, that's why I didn't recognize
him.
Oh, you didn't recognize
him?
He said right away he'd been to a wedding.
Yeah, I had to go. My best friend got married today in Atlanta. So I stopped there. It was
in Atlanta.
About 11, I think, when it was. So I stopped there on the way back.
So, really, you think you got you a girl then? Sounds like you
well,
got
see.
Your girl.
We have to see.
Okay.
Yes?
Who was this, you know, when you was here back in the early part of summer, I was wore out. Just completely. I'd been doing a little of everything. And, you come in with some young fella. I never saw him. You know, just except for the distance. Who's he?
Don Shannon House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he a carpenter?
No, well, he thought he was, but he dropped out right away. He and I were going to work on that house up there, along with Waring is the name of the guy that's the son of the president whose house we were building. Anyway, Don and I were going to work with Waring on the house. There'd be 3 of us. But boy, after one day, Don never came back.
Well, you had him in tow there. Didn't you have him with you a time or two when you came through here?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He came down here with me, visiting a couple of times. He's sort of interested in the country, but he doesn't know anything about it.
I don't know anything about it. Well,
he was. I told him about this place, and he was real anxious to see. And,
yeah.
And come to find out, he never had ridden a tractor before.
Yeah.
Or
and was scared of snakes.
Scared of snakes, and
he was a real sweet boy, but I think it was funny.
And he was interested in gardens. He had a little patch about this big up at school. Of a tomato plant and something else. And when he saw this one, he just thought that was really something.
Yeah.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, yeah, he really...
You was educating him then.
But I took him around on the tractor out here. And he quick decided that he didn't like that so much. I mean, he liked riding a tractor, but he didn't think he would like working on one all day, driving one, or plowing a garden or anything like that. He didn't. He quick decided that he didn't. He was sort of interested in the country, but he just sort of liked to look instead of do it.
So he was just your friend. You were just educating him.
Well, it sort of concerned me because I thought, well, you know. He could have brought him down to do something, and we just didn't quite communicate. And because the way Don talked to me, he just didn't. He liked the country, but he didn't know anything about it. So I wondered what he could do.
Well, that's true. Well, I didn't really know. See, all up at school, we never had a chance to do anything, and he kept talking about, you know, the country and farming and all. And so I thought, well, one of these days when we come down here, I'm just
showing,
I just recommend. And so then when I got him down here, I found out right quick he wasn't so anxious to do any work. He just kind of liked to look. You see how things were done, but didn't want to do any.
You still had him on your hand.
Yeah. So I found out quick what he was. Well, I think really he sort of had the idea it was really easier than it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he thought, you know, it'd be nothing just to go out and mix up some hay one day. But boy, when he got to see how it really was, you know, I let him pick up a bale out there, and he just, oh, he couldn't pick it up. And I told him we'd pitch those things up there higher in our head, and he couldn't believe it. He said, no, you don't do that, do you?
That seems to be overstated, but I imagine a good many of them fellas are like that.
That's right.
What did Reston say reporting on China? That adversity had produced better men than affluence.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days,
mm-hmm.
of course,
mm-hmm.
adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
see.
Yeah, that's right.
They just trifling. Just perfectly
mm-hmm.
useless.
That's right.
Yeah.
They can read about it or look at it, but they can't do it.
Yeah. I don't know if they get anything straight, do
they? Well, I know just in Tyson, I said when you came back up about Coco,
mm-hmm.
and he said, and that's all low. Well,
he didn't do anything. You know, couldn't go out there. Oh. Couldn't do this. Couldn't do that. It was
terribly boring. And he may not admit it that way at all. Mm-hmm.
But
it
was all negative. Yeah. But I, you know,
Now, Nick,
your sister
isn't
too up there, is she?
No, she'll just be a sophomore next year.
Oh, sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Just her first year. So she's going back, though.
Well, now this sounds like a long ways from Jimmy. How does he fit in to the Woods household?
He doesn't. He's around all summer. I saw him. He got rid of his car and got a truck. He got rid of his horse. Got another one. And then got rid of that one and decided not to get another one until he had a lot of money to get a real good one.
Take a rest?
Yeah. Although he just built a big pasture out in the back of his yard. I mean, he had all this land. No, not a lot, but, you know, a half acre or something. An acre. And it was all in weeds, and he finally just got around to fencing it off and plowing it up and putting something in there. And then a month later, he got rid of the horse and decided not to get another one for a while. And that was just after he got the truck so he could carry his horses around.
Yeah.
And then he decided he wasn't going to get one for a while. So he had a truck and a pasture that he couldn't use.
Well, that's it, you see.
Thanks for the
You get all your equipment and go out of business. I feel like that sometimes. If I ever get, you know, I talk all the time about getting one of those little trailers with a cow frame on. If I ever get one, it'll be by the time I get one.
You'll need a big one.
Yeah.
Well, he got sort of mad with his horse. He had a mare that he kept trying to breed. And it wouldn't take, and it wouldn't take all summer, it wouldn't take.
Yeah.
So he just got mad and sold it. So he was going to save up his money until a real good one came along.
Well, is he out where he can find him?
Yes, he's in contact with all those people still.
He still goes out to the shows, other than rodeos. Bear racing.
Yes, he does.
But now, Ellen, she's not interested in the countryside.
She is, sort of. Let's see. She doesn't like, surprisingly, she doesn't like the city and city life at all. She wants to live out in the country. She can't stand hustle bustle traffic lights and
she calls country,
that's sort of like the old country estate for her, I guess.
Yeah.
So they have one like that.
Is that all she ever knew? Just a big country place?
Up until I started indoctrinating her this summer.
Took her down to get a
hamburger. Did you take her out
a little bit? Oh, yeah.
Took her out
to
the hamburger.
Country. Yeah, out around the countryside where the things are.
Here's the
Holland. She's used to being hustled off to Europe for a week and out to the country estate for a week. They have a country house out at Swanee. They don't even live in Swanee. Her father's dean of the seminary at Virginia Seminary. In Alexandria, and they just have a summer house.
Amazing to have a dean in the seminary.
Oh yeah, I know. Her father's the dean of the seminary at Virginia Seminary in Alexandria. And
why does he own cocoa?
He does.
Tell
me. Yeah, he's a dean of the seminary at the same time. Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
It's really it's a weird combination.
I'd like to see the kind of religion that comes out of that.
it's a weird combination. Well, you know, it's funny. The other day, I went to one church where he preached a sermon that Sunday.
Oh, really?
And the sermon was about how it doesn't matter how much money you got, it's what you do with it.
Yeah.
It's the sermon, the theme of the sermon, you know.
You
were saying,
take it down.
What?
You took it down.
What, the sermon?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Not that I couldn't, but I didn't. I didn't know that he was going to do it that Sunday anyway. But anyway, it was a bit long about, you know, he was poo-pooing the idea about the rich man getting into heaven like a camel through a needle's eye. He said, that's not right. He said, it just depends on what you do with your money. Not the rich man, he's just nice and generous with his money, he's just as good off as anybody else.